Surprise! It's the news. According to me. Well, guess what? It's Tuesday morning, and there's a show. There's a show on Tuesday morning. I don't know if some of you may not have gotten the show yesterday. In fact, it was actually posted very late in the day because I unfortunately had to head out, and I was having some issues with trying to post it, and then I was able to post it later in the day, but I posted it through my phone. So I don't know if it actually was even able to be posted or not. I don't know if it actually posted. I had to load it from my phone from a server, not any particular server with any classified documents or anything on it, but it was a server that I had to load it from my phone to the Podbean site. And so if you don't get your stuff off Podbean, I know some of you get it off Spotify and what's the other one? There's a couple other places, Apple Podcasts. It automatically goes from Podbean to those places, supposedly. I know that my other service that I use, which is Castos, is it seems to work as well. I know it posts stuff on there. However, there's this weird dump once in a while. Apparently my channel gets pushed out as a promotional thing. I think once every so often, after you've had so many hours of broadcast, or I don't know if it's so many episodes or so many hours of podcasting, that it triggers something and they push it out to more people. Because once in a while, it goes like 100 times more than what I had before. And then typically after that, the normal average goes up. So apparently when it goes out there, I pick up a few new people. It's every time. So it's kind of weird. I don't understand how it happens, but in my cup, I do understand my cup, and I understand what's in my cup. Well, not totally, but I know what it tastes like. It tastes like chai, vanilla chai with Cinnabon creamer in it, which for those of you who are longtime listeners, you know where I am this morning. I won't have to say where I am, but I will say where I am because those of you who aren't longtime listeners, for those of you who are longtime listeners, you can plug your ears right now because you already know. This is information you already know. I'm in my home studio at my home, not the worldwide headquarters studio that I was in yesterday. And so I have the privilege of being at home this morning for a little while. I will have to be leaving here in a couple hours because I have things to attend to. But I can probably get this show in and get everything done and still get out of here in time. This is paper. I have this thing called paper. Some of you may not know what this is. What they do is they go out and they kill trees. I think you have to kill about 700 trees to make a sheet of paper. The eco people tell me. The tree huggers tell me it takes 757 trees to make one sheet of 8.5 by 11 paper. That's what I understand. And it creates 474 billion metric tons of carbon that has been scientifically proven to heat up the planet. Speaking of global warming, it leads me into I didn't even think about it, but it leads me into the first thing on my list: global warming. This is all the stuff that's on my list this morning. I normally don't have a list, but I had to have. There's so much stuff I have to catch up with, but there's also so much stuff going on. Oh, I didn't even. There's a couple things I didn't even put on here. I'll put that on here now. Make sure I put that stuff on here. Yeah, there we go. That's one of those things. I'll probably think of a few more. Right now I have, let's see, there's actually two there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 7 things here that would be a show in and of themselves. But that's, folks, here's how it works on this. If you're a first-time listener, or maybe this is one of the first times you've listened, if you don't notice, I don't know, most podcasts, a lot of podcasts out there, I won't say most because I don't know, I haven't done a survey. A lot of the popular podcasts out there have sponsors, a little thing called sponsors. And they have commercials during their podcast, and it's very annoying. It's more annoying than just listening to my voice rattle on for 5 minutes. But you can listen to them talk about a product for 5 minutes. All I do is, it's sponsored by my stories, is what my life stories, stuff that I do in life. So once in a while, I interject a little life lesson. Life lesson from Kevin. It's a long list of stuff here. And I don't have to cut anything out, or, you know, I don't have a certain amount of time I'm supposed to be. My show could go on for 2 hours. It usually doesn't. Usually when I see the hour-long thing there, I usually start, yeah, people are probably tuning out already anyway. There's probably like a one listener left by the, you know, the 57th minute. I start off with 100, you know, by into the five-minute point. Once they find out what's in my cup, I'm pretty sure most people tune out anyway. That's really all they're interested in. I recently heard somebody say that American people have the attention span of a goldfish, which I guess they don't even have one. So I think I think that's selling people short, in my opinion, but I think they at least have the attention span of a housefly. I think, I don't know. I'm saying at least, which I'm pretty sure is more, quite a bit more than a goldfish. I don't know. I haven't done any scientific proving. In fact, I'd like to take this opportunity to let you know I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not an ecologist. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an accountant. I am unqualified to do anything. And I have just a lot of opinions. I have a qualification that I just got a lot of opinions, and I like to share them. And then you can do whatever you want to with them. I don't care. You can take my advice or not, or you can say it's stupid, or you can maybe just listening to this because you think it's a train wreck and you just can't stop watching. Can't stop listening. You're listening to a train wreck and you can't stop listening. I have, in my never nicotine stained fingers, they've never been stained by nicotine that I know of. I don't know. My dad used to smoke. So maybe I had a stain on my fingers. I don't know if I picked up one of his cigarettes one time. I don't know. So anyway. Global warming. This topic always becomes the hot topic, pun intended, around July and August. Rush Limbaugh used to point this out. He used to point out, as summer was approaching, he would say, now be aware, come around end of July, first of August, right into the August month, when it's the hottest time of the year in most places in the West, the Northern Hemisphere. Well, all we were going to hear about is how hot it is. We had this guy that was apparently speaking at some kind of summit in Europe somewhere. The hour of global warming is done, and the hour of global boiling has begun. Because the ocean, supposedly the ocean is warmer than it's ever been. The entire ocean. I don't know which ocean. Because there's the Atlantic and the Pacific and there's the Indian. They do this kind of crap. And of course, you never know. They've been caught doing this red-handed several times. And they just ignore it. And here's what they do. In Europe recently, in England actually, they went out on a runway at an airport. At the heat of the day, as the sun was beating down on this tarmac, on the asphalt or whatever it was, It's radiating up off this thing. Within about 2 feet of the ground, and they, while two typhoon jets are taking off. Oh, look, it's the hottest it's been in a long time. So, they've done this. This is the kind of crap they do. And we don't know it, but science, all these scientists out there. What kind of scientist? You don't just go, you know, what are you studying in college? Science. I want to be a scientist. Okay, you just walk around on a lab coat and call yourself a scientist and somebody gives you a check. What are you doing? What kind of science are you doing? Is it computer science? Meteorology? Meteorology. I can say the word. Are you a neurologist? There are geoscientists? All these scientists out there. What bothers me is I don't care for Bill O'Reilly a whole lot. I was kind of a fan for a while when I first kind of discovered him. I liked his kind of his, you know, brash attitude, kind of here, stick it in your face. Here's what I think. Wouldn't take any guff from anybody. And the more I listened to him, the more I realized he's just a pompous. I'll let you fill in the blank on that one. He's just one of these guys that bloviates and thinks that he is well. I don't know. Let me just say I've dealt with people like this in the past, and I didn't have a good experience. They like to when they talk to you, they'll butter you up. They'll say, "Oh, you're a smart guy." And you'll hear him say this on his show all the time. When he was interviewing people, he would say, "Well, you're a smart guy, blah, blah, blah." He'd try to, I don't know, pretend like he appreciated them or respected them. And nothing could be further from the truth. He didn't have any respect for anybody but himself. And this is the kind of stuff that he was saying. Now, apparently he's got this little thing. I think he's on Newsmax now, but he has this little thing and they play him in the evenings. He's sounding really old, by the way, but he gets on there and he goes, it used to be like 5-10 minutes long, 15, maybe it was 15 minutes long. And now it's not even that long. He has like he comes out and makes like one statement. I don't even know if it's more than two sentences. And then he goes into, some of his emails, which is only two or three. It's probably all he got for the day. I get like 100 in an hour. I don't know what to do with all of that. I'm just constantly deleting stuff. I spend 3 hours on an airplane and I spend the next hour when I get off just deleting emails. So we have Bill O'Reilly getting on there saying, "Well, global warming is an absolute fact. There's no question. The globe is getting warmer. The earth is getting warmer, blah, 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 blah." Oh, Bill, you know this because he was making this point that you have people on the left who are using it to politicize things and trying to gain totalitarian power, which they are. The collectivists are all about, and this is going to be the new pandemic, if you will. It'll be the new thing that we have to control everybody. We're all in this together. We have to fight global warming because people are making the planet hotter. Well, there's people on the right who are saying, we're not so sure about that. And there's total global deniers, global warming deniers out there saying the planet isn't warming. And he says they're just deniers, and they're they're off their rocker. And he says the people who are trying to use global warming now, he does say that the question is whether or not it's man-made or not. He does bring that up. He said it's the jury's still out on whether or not it's man-made or not. Well, it's certainly man-made up. I was talking to my wife the other day about this. We had a house that didn't have air conditioning back in 19. Well, we bought it in 1989. And it was a farmhouse, had big shade trees around it. We had no air conditioning. Air conditioning was not in every home back then. And we were probably one of the last ones to not have air conditioning, probably. But we had no air conditioning. The house was over 150 years old. It's an old farmhouse. It had been redone in the 70s. And we had purchased it in 1989, right after we got married. And we were there for 13 years with no air conditioning. Now, I remember in 1991, that summer, it was 91 or 92. It was right in there somewhere. I recall that the temperatures were over 100 degrees. Now, we have temperatures in the 90s here last week, and you would have thought it was the hottest it's ever been in 124,000 years. Really, because 100,000 years ago, they were keeping track. It's absolute fallacy to say something like that. They're making this stuff up. They're coming up with a narrative that is absolutely false based on their own science. And things that they've said in the past. These are the same scientists who told us in the 70s we're heading for a global ice age. The same people. The same qualifications. So who do you believe in this stuff? It is whatever they're doing, and it's so obvious that the Earth cycles through times of cooling and icing. By the way, the Great Barrier Reef, which was supposedly supposed to be gone by now, 25 years ago, they told us, the Great Barrier Reef is diminishing. It's good. They kept talking about how it was all going to be dead. The whole thing was going to be dead in a matter of years, just a few years. It has now been taken off the endangered list, and there's actually more coral reef there than there has ever been before that we know of, as far as we know. Now, the next thing you know, they're going to say, well, the coral reef is taking over the planet because of global warming. And we have to kill it. And what it all boils down to is a carbon tax. Well, I hate to tell you this, but you are a carbon creature. And that means your life can be taxed. Because you expel carbon. You have a carbon footprint. So just living. This is where we're at, folks. They literally are here. Just by you living, your carbon footprint can be taxed. Even though you have the right to life, to live and pursue happiness, I'm sorry. We're going to tax that life because you're emitting carbon and you're contributing to global warming. Dun, dun, dun. It's killing the planet. You're going to kill us all because you keep breathing. The insanity, folks, is just... Let's talk about what it's doing in the Southern Hemisphere. We don't hear anything down from Australia. My understanding is they've had some of the coldest... This has been one of the coldest years they've had down in Australia, especially in the southern part of Australia. And nobody talks about that. How convenient. Because it's hot up here, where most of the population is. Western population is. It's like they have a couple. And of course, then we have all these wildfires. And they claim that these wildfires are just the forest. It's so hot that the forests are just bursting into flames. That's what they would like to have you believe. In fact, Al Gore almost made it sound that way in his stupid Inconvenient Truth movie. That was 25 years ago? when they said that the world was going to end in 12 years. Just every, you know, it's always 12 years out. World's going to end in 12 years. We don't do something now. And 12 years later, they're still saying, well, if we haven't done enough in 12 years. Now, John Kerry got up and testified before Congress that if everybody went to zero emissions, there's still nothing we can do. The Earth is still going to. Well, what do you suggest we do then, John? You're suggesting that we go to negative? He thinks we need to create these monstrosity machines. He's probably going to invest in, this is probably a company his wife is going to invest in. Because he was very clear when he was asked about his personal, flying around in a personal jet. Well, I've never owned a jet. No, but your wife did. The Heinz company did. You were flying around in their jet. It's yours. Who has control? If you called up the hangar and said, hey guys, I'm John Kerry. I fought in Vietnam and I want to take the plane to Europe today. Oh, no, sorry. It's not your plane, sir. Can't take you there. Sorry. Who are you? I don't know who you are. No, they would just, oh, yes, sir, what time would you like to leave? We'll have it fueled up and ready to go. We'll have pilots standing by. Just take your bags. Stuff them in the back. We'll have a little Perrier water for you. Your newspaper. That's the way that works. So, yeah. But the guy has the audacity to stand before Congress. I've never owned an airplane. I've never had an airplane. I've never owned an airplane. No, but your company did. Well, it was my wife's company. Oh yeah. So did you ever, and I suppose you've never talked to her about her business dealings. Is that the way this all works? Speaking of impeachment, speaking of never talking to your son about business dealings, there's a guy named Devin Archer, apparently, who was a longtime associate of the Bidens, who has apparently flipped on these guys. Now, Bob Alinsky was another one who did, and I haven't heard much about Bob Alinsky since that happened. But they keep saying, there's no evidence, there's no evidence, no evidence. You don't hear him saying this when somebody goes after Trump for allegations of anything. All you hear is unnamed sources tell us that this is this, and this is that. Or this lady claims that he raped her. Well, she says it wasn't rape. But it hurt. It wasn't right. No evidence. He said, she said. No evidence whatsoever. None. Zero. Zot. Nada. Zip. You don't hear them coming out and saying that about Donald Trump. They don't care if there's any evidence or not. This whole thing about these documents with Trump is absolute asinine. And by the way, Joe Biden, classified documents in your garage. Oh, it was inadvertent. You inadvertently took them out of a skiff, apparently, when you were a senator. And then somehow they ended up in your garage. How can somebody be so irresponsible, he said, Joe Biden said, about handling classified documents. Now, understand, when Trump moved out of the White House, out of the Oval Office and out of the White House, he took everything with him. All of his stuff that he had in his home, his White House home. He took it all. There is always, every time a president leaves office, there's always this tug of war between the president and the archives records about who gets to keep what and where it needs to be kept. This always happens. All of a sudden, this turned into we're going to raid his house and take these documents because he has classified documents that are sensitive material. Well, excuse me, but a year ago, he could pick up any one of those documents or read them anytime he wanted to. what has changed with this man, other than not he was the president, now he's not. But a former former presidents have always been held in a higher, rare air kind of circumstance. They are people who are privied to a lot of things, and they remain in that state as former presidents. There was a time, I remember when, I believe it was Barack Obama, had Jimmy Carter. There's the most presidents who have ever been alive at one time, former presidents and presidents who have ever been alive at one time. I think it was under the Obama administration, right at the beginning of Obama's administration. It may have been in Bush's administration. I'm pretty sure it was Obama. Because you had former President Bush. You had former President Clinton. Then you had the younger former President Bush, W, and Barack Obama. I believe Ford might have even still been alive at that time. I can't remember when he passed away. And I think Carter, I'm pretty sure Carter was actually alive at that time. And they were all there at the White House for this meeting. And it was, they were going, I think it was something to do with the artwork. They were presenting the formal picture of Obama, the painting of the formal presidential painting or whatever it was. And every president has had this, and it's they're putting it in the Hall of Presidents or whatever it was. And this is a very rare occasion. This is an extremely elite club. They were all there. I remember Rush Limbaugh saying, "This is rare air. You don't make this a political moment. You serve it with the and my understanding is that Obama tried to push something, and it didn't go over well. It really fell flat. I guess he was trying to push some kind of a little bit of a political point, and it was very disrespectful. But I would not think anything. I would not expect anything less from him, or more. But I don't know. Yeah. So Devin Archer has flipped on the Bidens. There's apparently this MO, this normal mode of operation, this standard operating procedure. What he would do is Hunter would have this dinner. This has happened probably 20 times. He would have a dinner with these oligarchs. He has this dinner or some kind of meeting. And he would, in the middle of the meeting, or at the beginning, he would call up his father, the vice president. His father would answer. Now, I don't know how busy the vice president was, but you'd think he'd be busy doing something. He wasn't just randomly calling him. Joe was expecting his call. Because on none of these calls did he ever say, well, you know, I'm in the middle of something. I'll have to get back with you on this. No, he took the call. This was a planned, arranged thing. He was going to call his dad, and dad was going to say hello. And of course, supposedly he just talked about the weather. Kind of like when the attorney general met with the Clintons on the ramp. Their two airplanes just happened to be in the same place, same time, and one of them ran over and talked, and they just talked about, oh, the grandkids and golfing. That's all they talked about, even though Hillary was in the middle of a trial. How convenient that they just happened to stop at the same place, same time. Susan Rice, or it wasn't Susan Rice, it was what's her name, it was the other one. I think, who was the former attorney general? It was under Obama, there was an attorney general, one of his first ones. Apparently, she has a son who is a right-wing, very conservative individual. And it really must be really difficult for her. So, I think what we're going to do is we're just going to say that. So what he would do? He would call his dad, and his dad would, of course, talk to them about something, and he would talk for almost an hour in most cases. You don't talk about the weather for an hour. And every time he would have one of these meetings, millions of dollars would be transferred to an account, an LLC somewhere. This is absolute corruption at the highest level. One of the things that Dan Bongino said that I have to say, I have ignored as well myself. I've not even really paid much attention to it, but it definitely is. You have to admit to it. Barack Obama knew all of this was going on. You cannot have somebody as your vice president operating like this and not know what's going on. If he didn't know, he's an idiot, which, okay, yeah, it's possible. But you've got to know what's going on with your VP. Why are you going to Ukraine? Why are you going to China? Why are you taking Air Force Two and traveling around with your son? What is going on here? What are you going to tell these people? You think they're just two independent people running around not having anything to do with either each? I guarantee you, Obama knew everything that was going on with Hunter and his son and his dad. I guarantee you he did. And apparently he was somewhat involved because Joe Biden implicated him in one of his statements. Well, you're not the president. Remember this, what he said? The guy he was telling to yeah, you got to fire the prosecutor because the prosecutor is corrupt. Since when do we care about a corrupt prosecutor in another country and we decide that there was nothing in the congressional budget that said, okay, we're going to give Ukraine a $1 billion grant as long as they fire the prosecutor because the prosecutor's corrupt. So Joe Biden steps in and says, oh, we're not going to give you the $1 billion unless you fire that prosecutor. And the guy pushed back on him and said, well, you're not the president. You can't control that. So call him. Call him. So if this guy would have called Barack Obama, and maybe he did, what would Barack Obama have said?
I don't know what you're talking about. What's Joe doing out there? I don't know. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know. No, you're going to get the $1 billion. I don't know what Joe's talking about. No, that's not what he would have said.
He would have said, Joe's my ambassador and do whatever he says. Because he knew full well. Now, the question is, was Barack getting any benefit out of any of this? Because it all leads to him, folks. And they will not allow, and the Republicans won't even touch Barack Obama because they realize he is their Messiah. In the religion of big government Democrats, Barack Obama is their Messiah. There's not even a smidgen of corruption in the IRS, he said, with a straight face. So Biden is in a little bit of a trouble. But you've got this guy that comes out. And I actually recorded this, and maybe I can play this. Hopefully this plays. I don't know if it will or not. We'll give it a try. I had this recording. It was off the Laura Ingraham show. And I think I can make this happen. Let's see if I can actually pull this up. It's this guy talking about, they're actually covering for Biden and making it sound like, oh, he's just... There's nothing. There's no evidence. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see at all. Nothing at all. Yeah, this is gonna. Yep. There you go. I think it's gonna connect. There we go. All right. This is connected. So let's see if we can play this real quick. It's a little difficult to play sometimes because it always wants to. It's hard to get the audio. Here we go.
Hey, watch this.
There is not a shred of evidence of a single conflict of interest of President Biden ever doing anything in connection or in relation to Hunter Biden's business ventures other than advocating for the removal of a prosecutor general who was advantageous to Burisma.
That's all he's ever done. That's all he's ever done. And if you believe that, I've got a bridge. I got several bridges. You probably buy all the bridges in the country, I would imagine. If that's... this is where we're at, this stuff now. And I have to say, this guy, of course, he's as delusional as anything. They're saying that that Hunter was only selling the illusion of having influence with his father, but that Joe Biden never made any decisions. Well, this was one of them right here. They wanted him to fire the prosecutor. He just admitted it. Other than this, there's nothing, no other evidence. Other than this, that's enough. Right there, that's impeachable. That's what they impeached Donald Trump on. Exactly what they impeached. They impeached him for making a phone call and influencing funds, withholding funds to do an investigation. That's exactly the same thing. It's a quid pro quo. Same thing. They're saying there's no evidence except for this. Well, that's all you need, apparently, to impeach the guy. Now, I think Kevin McCarthy and some of the others involved in this whole thing, their big concern here is they have to win over the court of public opinion. Now, being able to do that is going to be very difficult with the state of the media the way it is right now. They can come out with rock solid, in your face, concrete evidence against Joe Biden that he had impeachable offenses. They can vote for impeachment, win the impeachment. I guarantee you, every single Democrat in the House is probably going to be voting against impeachment. And when it goes to the Senate, you're not going to see the Mitt Romneys. They only have really one person on their side, and that's our side. That's a normal person, and that's what's his name? Carolina or wherever he's from. He's now looking at probably going to be running as an independent, possibly. Who's the guy? What's the guy's name? I can't think of his name. I'll think of it. And he's probably the only swing vote in the Senate, possibly. But if it goes to the Senate, I think that they know they have to have a rock solid case that any Democrat that votes against impeachment in the Senate is going to look like an idiot. And again, I digress. I don't care about that. I don't know what more to say about that. So we have a. That's what's going on with that. I'm only on number two here, folks, and I've got 20 minutes left in my show. So I'm going to breeze through a couple of these other things just real quick. Nancy Mace recently made a statement. I have to weigh in on this because it really bothers me. Nancy Mace apparently made this statement recently, being interviewed by somebody. She's apparently engaged to be married. She's supposedly a Republican, I guess. And she was going to go to a prayer breakfast. Well, she was on her way. She was, going to go to this prayer breakfast. It was because she's such a person of faith and she has so much. She's really a rock solid individual. I don't know. I see no humility here, and I guess that's what bothers me about this whole thing. And the way the statement was made and everything about it was this idea that she is so committed to her faith that she apparently woke up next to her fiancé. They're not married. Her fiancé woke up next to her fiancé, and her fiancé wanted to, he was in the mood. And she said, "No, babe, don't have time for that right now. I got to go to a prayer breakfast." She's talking about this. Okay. I don't know what to do with that. So
I refused to have sex outside of marriage because I had to go to a prayer breakfast. So the guy I'm living with woke up next to.
I don't know. I don't know, folks. I don't want to be judgmental in this. All I'm saying is this seems a little bit hypocritical to me. Maybe I'm wrong on this. But maybe I'm right. And maybe this is the state of where we're at right now, that, you know, God bless him for, you know, doing the right thing and getting married. But let's, you know, I just, you know, choices have consequences, folks. I don't know. It's just, so anyway, I guess there's just no, it's just the haughtiness with which it was presented, I guess, is what really bothers me about it. But, you know, they wanted to get that out there, that they're going to a prayer breakfast because they're so spiritual. That's what bothers me about the whole thing. And there's the Trump lawsuits and, of course, the Ukraine war. What bothers me right now is that they're attacking Moscow. This is escalating, folks. And they're using things that we provided them to do this. Cruise missiles are crashing into, they're claiming drones are crashing in Moscow. These are. This is bad news because this is going to escalate things. I guarantee you it will escalate things. And the fact that now the population in Moscow, the people in Moscow are being drawn into this, you know, at what point do you make them mad to the point where now they're going to say, well, yeah, you never know what the tide is going to change. You just, so I don't know. I'm not a geopolitical scientist either. I'm not one of those. The last thing I want to talk about is this UFO stuff, folks. I've been listening to the testimony, not all of it, some of it. It's really hard for me to listen to it because of the way they do it. But it's really, it's like it just, the one guy especially was over the top phony. I'm sorry, but he was over the top phony. And I don't know what else to tell you. He was a, and here's the problem with all this stuff. Everything he's talking about, all the answers he's giving you have been approved by the Pentagon. So is he really a whistleblower? What whistleblower do you know of who comes out to blow the whistle? Now, Snowden never went to anybody and said, hey, do I have permission to share any of this? What can I share and what can't I share? No, he shared the whole thing because he's a whistleblower. That's a whistleblower. Now, did he go too far? Did he do something wrong? I don't know. That's for the courts to decide. But we certainly know a whole lot more than we did before. Whether or not we should know it or not, I don't know. But this, the whole thing here, the whole idea, is that this guy's a whistleblower, and yet he's coming out and saying, I can't get into this, I can't get into that, because that's classified, I can't. Were there biologics found? Yes, there were. Has anyone been hurt by these extraterrestrial stuff? Yes. In what way? What? Were they shot with laser beams? I don't know. First of all, it's a huge distraction. There is some estimation that they believe there's some speculators in this whole thing. Now, let's talk again about this whole conspiracy thing. The term conspiracy theory is a very loaded word. It's become a loaded phrase. There has never been, prior to the whole thing, I guess since JFK, it's become more of a thing. When you say the word conspiracy theory, I have a conspiracy theory. Well, that's a real thing. It's a theory about people conspiring to do something. And people conspire to do things all the time, good and bad. I have a theory that somebody's conspiring against somebody else or against me or whatever it is. It's a theory, and that there's a conspiracy. When that conspiracy theory is proven correct, then it's no longer a theory. It's just there was a conspiracy. When you'd use the term conspiracy theory now, it is a label that goes over a whole lot more things. The idea that the virus came from a lab was a conspiracy theory, and you were censored because if you'd said anything about it. Because there's no evidence. There's zero evidence, by the way, of it ever coming from a wet market. Zero, zip, nada, zilch, bupkis. And yet that's what we're supposed to accept. And now we find out there's communications from within, some of the scientists around and associated with the Wuhan lab. It absolutely came from the lab. Now, it was a conspiracy theory. There was no conspiring going on. It was just a theory about a lab leak. But they tagged the term conspiracy theory on it because that makes you a wacko. And yet, it is the truth. So now what is it? It's just a conspiracy. It was a conspiracy to cover it up. And that has been exposed as well, because they conspired together to cover it up. Because that was the easier thing to say. Because Fauci was directly involved in the Wuhan lab. He was the main guy there calling. When he showed up, they said, yes, sir, yet no, sir. What do you want, sir? How can we help you, sir? Where would you like to go? What would you like to do here? Because a vast majority of the funding was coming from Fauci's influence. So this conspiracy thing about the UFOs. The UFOs basically, UFOs or UPAs or whatever they're calling them now. Extraterrestrial stuff. Non-human, whatever they're calling it. Here's where I think we're at. I think they know that there is technology out there that they are. This is what Roswell was all about for a long time. The testing grounds out there. They pushed the idea that there were little green men. There was a. In fact, the government themselves had the misinformation or disinformation campaign out there to make people think it was UFOs. When in actuality, it was our technology they were trying to protect from anybody knowing anything about it. I think there is technology out there in the skunk works that is being, and yes, I think they can keep secrets. They can keep secrets by compartmentalizing things and doing things properly. And they continue to do those kinds of things. And I think it's a distraction. It's a distraction from the actual reality that we have some kind of technology that we're not willing to share. So we're making it out to be little extraterrestrials. And they're going to use this to scare everyone, in my opinion. They're trying to scare people, but everybody's kind of yawning at this. Because I don't think anybody really believes it. They kind of want to believe. There's people out there say, yeah, I want to believe there's extraterrestrials. But at the same time, they're like, they're not interacting with us at all, as far as we know, unless they're, becoming normal human beings and being jerks and idiots on airplanes, which is what it's been going on for years. So I don't know. How is that different than anybody else? How can we say that they're extraterrestrials when they're just terrestrials? These, I don't know. And so anyway, that's all I got to say about that, folks. And I basically – that's all I got to say about the show. So I probably should just bring the show to a close. Personally, there's other things I think that are going on with the UFOs, the extraterrestrial stuff. I personally believe there's something spiritual going on there. I'm going to call it that, spiritual, or if you want to say other terrestrial beings and creatures that I think have been dormant for a while, or I don't know. I don't know, folks. I don't know. There's a whole lot more stuff that's going on in the spirit world, I'm going to call it that, that we don't understand. So go from there. In the meantime, speaking of spiritual stuff, pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for the truth to be exposed and known, and for people to submit to the truth as it is. God bless everybody. Have a great day.